This is the limit.
Hi, how are you?
Just the last couple. I had another thing, and then last time I couldn't. March 4.
Oh, okay.
Okay, basically. Well, you answered your question.
Yes.
People can ask questions to you.
So someone should keep an eye on this, right?
Yes.
I can move my stuff a little bit. Oh, is that okay? Yeah, okay. Thank you so much. So I don't wanna give you too much.
No, no. Can you touch here?
So you also.
Yeah.
You get a nice chair.
Yeah, so she said she would do it today. It smells like urine. I like how you just smiled and walked away.
I can't smell it. There's another chair if you want to.
It was good in person.
Oh, Ashley, I meant to ask you. Did you pick up any like signage sheets last week?
No.
No?
I would like to call the meeting order. And let's start with and Ashlyn, our clerk, will do it again this time.
Okay. Arts and Humanities, Kristen. Andy is on Zoom. Rebecca Harrison. All right, Life Sciences, Alexa Jones. Kavya. Perfect. Cinnamon. Perfect. Physical Science and Engineering, Jeff. Dietrich is not here. Jared.
Here.
Right, Nathan.
Here.
Perfect. Special Schools, Wade. Sarah. Oh, Harriet. Not here. Sabina. Elizabeth. Not here. Abby. Kristen. Anna. James.
Here.
Perfect. Nicholas. All right, Social Sciences, Margaret.
Here.
Mo.
Here.
You're here. Wendy. Masters, Victoria. Caitlin.
Here.
Shane Wong. Hey.
and it was good.
Don't have two-thirds of our board members currently. So we'll, if there's no dissent, I would like to do presentations first before potentially coming back to minutes in case some of our community concerns dissent. Yeah, we have 10 absent and we have 26 seated board members, so we need to support two. Yes, but to you know, to vote on the base, we need to turn itself on our we don't need to vote. So we just need majority. Okay, so we do have more than half. Thank you. And so let's try to do the minutes first. Is there any comments, questions on the first minute? Minutes from February the 11th, 2019. Any comments, questions?
February
11th. Okay. Any dissent? Seeing none, February 11th meeting minutes is passed. And then we have our March 4th, 2019 meeting minutes. Any comments, questions?
Start the presentation. I'm going to give you a little bit of self introduction of myself. So, my name is Caleb. I was born and grew up in China. I moved to the US for school later. Spent most of my time in Boston. Just moved to Ithaca last August. Started working with career services in January. Before this job, I was working in a K-12 international education company. That's a startup company. I was running a startup there. And then family moved me here. So it's an honor and privilege to work at Cornell University working with all of you guys. So today I'm just going to talk a little bit about Cornell Career Services, the central office. So we can go to next. Great. Click one more time. All right. Question for y'all. Where is the Central Career Services office? Where is Mine Hall?
Near Sage and
Great. How long have you been for now? Great. So if you don't know where Career Services office is, we are in Bicop, which is the small building right next to Cornell Store. And if you don't know where Cornell Store is, hopefully you know where the clock tower is. We're not far from there. Fill up. So, what do we do? How many of you guys have visited career services office that can include your college career services office? If you have, raise your hand. Great. And so can you all tell me a little bit more about what do our office do? Any idea of like the services we provide?
I'm a JDM based in law school. I look at specifically how recruiting works for on-campus recruiting, internships, you want to go work for a judge, visit most of the business schools, that's more about if you want to work for corporate, you want to work in nonprofit, entrepreneurship, it's talking about the various options you have and how they all work together with your personal management perspective.
Great. So job search and internship search. All right, what else? Right. Look at your resume, cover letter, and give you some advice on how to tailor your documents towards the specific job description. Anything else? One more. I'm going to take one more. Interview prep. Yes, practice the interview. So we do general career explorations, which means if you know where you're going into but want more information, you come to us. If you don't know what you're going to do with your degree, you can come talk to us. We have tea and coffee, so it's free. So anytime you want to talk about career exploration, to make an appointment or walk in or come to our one of the drop-in hours to talk to one of the advisors. And then next, we have graduate and professional school advising and preparation. So we have advisors coming from different disciplines. So we have one advisor who used to be a lawyer, we have pre-health advisor, we have graduate international advisor. So there are different advisors that are coming from different fields that have certain knowledge about how does this field look like, or if I want to go into this field, what should I do? Anything I need to be aware of. And then we also help you, provide you with some resources about internships and full-time job search that include how to revise your resume, how to write your cover letter so that you can present the best self to the recruiter and to the position. And then we also have fellowship advisors. If you are interested in applying for different fellowships, there is one advisor that's specifically working with students who have these kind of needs and interests. And then we have different kinds of specialized advising needs, people who, at the end of their grad school PhD career, suddenly they want to make a career change going into industry, or people who are coming from a philosophy major who want to go into computer science. What do you do? So we have these different requests. We meet with students. I would say these are one of the most exciting times for me personally, because I get to learn about different fields. We're now so big. There are so many majors. I don't know all of them. And so those are the times for me to learn about each major and what they do, what they study on. It's quite interesting. So moving next, I listed some of the useful websites for grad students. I'm sure many of you are familiar with some of these sites. So Versatile PhD is a kind of very good website for PhD students in all kind of fields. So humanities, social sciences, and STEM. It provides information about different industry trends, articles from PhD, and also some job opportunities. Imagine PhD is specifically for the humanities and social sciences. So if you want to know more about this, so I'm going to leave the slide for you guys, and Nina maybe can send the slide out. I have each website link in those lines, so you just click on their names and should bring you to the website. So Beyond the Professorate in Sahara. Also, Beyond the Professorate is also another website for PhD students to learn more about thinking about going into industry, what you need to know, how to prepare yourself, some trends, and also different career fairs information. Inside higher ed, if you're interested in finding a job in higher education, but not as a faculty, that is also a great place for you to get more information. And then we have Handshake. How many of you have used Handshake before? Not many. So Handshake is essentially this website where it kind of includes all kinds of information, job fairs, on-campus interviews, different workshops and activities. So if you want to create an account on Handshake, go on there, just play with the whole search function and see what are some activities out there that you might be interested in. What are some workshops out there you want to participate in order to gain more resources or learn more from a specific field? And then Handshake is also a great place for you to look for jobs. I have to say though, Handshake, the website is not the easiest to kind of navigate. It could be chaotic sometimes, but if you're kind of tired of doing research, take a break, take a look at Handshake. LinkedIn, I guess most of you know what LinkedIn is. So that's a great place for you to start networking with people beyond Cornell, internationally, searching companies that are interesting out there that you want to work for, and then see, okay, follow the company and follow some people from the company and see what's going on in this company. Lastly, I want to talk a little bit more about the CUE links. How many of you have heard this name before? How many of you have a profile on CUE links? Great, here. And that's why I'm here. So, Rina, if you can go, yep. So, CUE links is essentially this LinkedIn-like website that Cornell created and launched last spring. It's a website for people, specifically Cornell students, Cornell alumni, and friends of Cornell to kind of share their knowledge with each other. And so CU means Cornell University, E means electronics, links is learning, informing, networking equals knowledge sharing. So it's a great platform for you to expand your professional network if most of your network is within your lab, within the academia environment. This is a great place for you to kind of look out to into industry and see who out there that could potentially be one of your network connections. And then connect with them, start talking to them, conduct some information interview with them. So, can we go back to the last page, and then previous one? Go back, one more. Can you click on CUE links? It's not coming up. Yeah. So on CUE links, there's a few places I want to kind of point out. One is obviously you can connect with Cornell alumni, which there are people who graduated from Cornell. Some of them went on for other kind of degree programs in other schools. Some went into industry directly. So you can apply different filters on CUE links. If you're in, let's say if you're from computer science major, and if you're interested in the people who graduated from computer science, what are they doing right now? You can just search for everyone that graduated from Cornell or who is associated with Cornell that has a computer science degree and see what kind of job do they have, what kind of company do they work for, and then reach out to them. Heather, great.
So this is the student kind of portal. So once you create a platform profile, then this will be the main page for you. And here, update matching preferences. You can set up locations that you're interested in. The cities and companies that you're interested in. So go to next. These are the industries, the fields that you're interested in. You can choose all of them that you're interested in. And then next, you can list some of the companies that you want to work for, or you feel like, man, these companies are cool. I want to follow people who are in these companies. And then you click save. The algorithm will do its work in the background. Then here, you should be able to see some people that the website recommended to you for you to kind of reach out, start building your network. And on the top left corner, if you see the corner of network, that's where you go and search the alumni of Cornell and friends of Cornell. Also, you can search peer network. These are the students who are currently at Cornell. Many of the grad students, and maybe some of you here, before you came to the grad school, you might have some work experience. So that is another way for you to reach out and see what are some of the students right now who's at Cornell that had work experience in certain companies or fields that you're interested in. Maybe the person worked for an exact company that you're interested in. Reach out to that person. Buy him or her a cup of coffee. Who doesn't want a free cup of coffee? And then just have a conversation, get to know more about, tell me more about this company, or how did you get there? What kind of skills or experiences you need to have before you land the job? And start learning about the industry, the different trends, and then see, is there anything that you need to learn while you're still here before you graduate to kind of equip yourself? And then there is another cool tab, which is called discussion. So on there, anyone can ask any questions and also answer any questions. So if you have some questions that you really want to know and you ask around people and get too many answers, you can certainly post your questions on here. And then on this platform, there are like students, current students, alumni, faculty, and staff. And a lot of time you'll see staff answering some of the questions and providing resources on campus that you did not know. So this is also a good way for you to figure out some of your questions. And then don't just ask questions. Answer some of the questions that you think you know the answer, because this is a platform for you to share knowledge, to support each other. So these are kind of three cool tabs that we have on CU eLinks. And if you have time, go on this website, create a profile, and start kind of playing with it and see where it takes you. All right, so let's go back. Moving along. Okay, so we used to have this grad student beyond academia newsletter, and it has stopped for a super long time, and it just resumed this past month. So March was the first kind of first time we sent out this newsletter in last year, November, July, or November. So if you did not receive this newsletter, and if you want to subscribe to this newsletter to get to know more of the career events and workshops and other events for grad students, and also job opportunities, sometimes I'll put job opportunities and recruitment fairs on campus or off campus. If you wish to know more of these kind of information, you can leave your it's a good way for me to write. Actually, go back. No, sorry, I already thought about this. On this slides, you can just click there and it'll lead you directly to the subscribe page. Just fill out your name, major. I think there are four questions for you to fill out. And then you're on. So start from next month, you start receiving the newsletter from us. And then lastly, I believe, yeah, this is my email, and this is my where my office is. If you want to talk about things, if you have any questions, you are not sure, want to know more about the resources we have, feel free to send me an email. I'd like to sit down with you, hear your story, and maybe brainstorm with you a little bit to kind of move to the next step. Thank you.
Taking questions and to help our board, can we ask you to please state your name and school or organization or department that we represent here so that we can be better. Right? So I have Caitlin, I have Matt, and Amanda.
My name is Caitlin Palumbo. At GPA, I'm a board member of the board, and I'm a student of the women, and I'm a CEPA student, and I'm a bachelor's degree in administration. All of that, I'm curious how the central career services office works with or coordinates with school level and professional career services offerings. What's the advantage to going to the central office to
a great question. I also want to know the answer because I'm also still figuring out. So I came here in mid-January. One of my kind of goals is to figuring out how do we differentiate our services and how can we also work with each career office in different colleges. Right now, I would say, obviously, the career office in your specific college might have more kind of knowledge in your certain major and field because people in their offices are probably coming from that field or have worked in that field for a while, so they have more kind of field knowledge per se. And they might have more connections with industry people who are in those fields, they might. What our office bring in sometimes is because we're the central office, we might have more resources, more financial ability to bring in people from outside to give different presentations or workshops based on the needs of the student or based on the needs coming from different colleges. And we also have some assessment tools that we use to work with the students. But at this kind of current moment, based on my understanding, we're working together. Sometimes they refer students to ask us after meeting the student for the first time. Sometimes we do the same. After we meet with a student for the first time, we think a specific college office can be a better help than the first student to their office. Yeah.
First off, I've had like a 30-year JD MBA student. First off, thank you for your talk. My question is actually a little bit online of what the difference between colleges and the central career service. But I guess my question that I asked is now, what do you see challenges in your office in terms of is this something to help you with, or the right information, the right feedback, or anywhere you think are challenges that you're looking to try and address in the coming months or years?
Yeah, definitely. I think just based on my time here since mid-January, one big challenge for me is kind of realizing how big and decentralized Cornell is. And I actually don't know if any colleges are providing the same kind of workshops or doing the same thing as us sometimes. And also, if they have some useful information and resources that we can kind of keep part of and so that we can better serve our students. So that's definitely one big challenge for me as how do I get to know, I work with each college office and to share these information and resources to avoid kind of redundant workshops and meetings, and also to serve students better. That's one. Two, I think for me, is how do I reach the targeting group students? For me, it's used for looking into jobs in industry as well as international students. I still have not found a like best platform to reach these groups of students. That's why I'm here trying to put myself out there, and then hopefully you can share with your peers that, hey, there is this guy called Caleb who wants to make friends with you. Don't talk to him, otherwise he's gonna be sad. So I think that's the second kind of challenge for me, is how do I reach to the target like groups that I want to reach to, and also gather their feedback, hear from them, like, what do they need? Because I can do 1,000 things, but 999 are not what they need. That's useless. A waste of your time, waste of my time, right? And so I think I see this as a great platform for me to gather some of these feedback and questions, like, what do you want us to organize or put together or do in order to provide information, support, or help as you kind of think about this career exploration or development topic. So that's another thing that I hope to figure out or address. Yeah, thanks.
So do you have open walk-in hours, and what are those hours?
Yes, we have drop-in hours every day, and usually it's from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So 2 to 3 is one advisor, and then 3 to 4 is another advisor. But drop-in hours are usually shorter, so drop-in appointment is only 15 minutes, but if you make an appointment with us, that's half an hour. So if you have like both resume and cover letter you hope to kind of discuss, probably drop-in is not the best time, because 15 minutes, you can probably only look at one document. So I would suggest that if you have a lot more to discuss, make an appointment, then we have more time. I'm not sure if there is a place where you can see like which advisor is doing which hour. We are in the process of getting a new website, and so hopefully after we have a new website, making an appointment will be much easier and more accessible for students. Like online instead of like emailing and then back and forth, like, oh, do you have time next Tuesday? And then I say yes, but then before you respond to me, someone else took the time slot. I hate that.
So the easiest way is to email you right now.
Yes, email or call. But if you're around, come in, say hi, make an appointment in person. Yeah, no problem.
Next time,
yeah, so I'm asking a question on behalf of Andy Barrientos Gomez, who is the executive vice president. He wants to know, can a career advisor help someone transform an academic CV into a resume for an industry job outside of academia?
Yes. We meet with students to help them convert their CV into a resume. That said, we still hope that the student can do the first try before they come into the office, because you gain something out of that kind of trying experience. And we can have multiple appointments to talk about how you convert your CV into a resume. But another thing I want to talk about is it's most effective if you have also a job description or a position that you want to apply for. Bring the job description with you so we can compare your resume to the job description, because we encourage students to tailor your resume to the job description specifically. So you should have like multiple versions of your resume, and then they might respond to each different position that you apply for. Yeah. Great.
Thank you, Javier.
Hi, I had a two-part question. The first part, I know we spoke about this before, and you kind of briefly talked about
second part of that is, I know you were mentioning community links, but is there, are you connecting with the alumni office to get more of the international alumni involved in that? Because right now it seems to be still very good.
Great, thank you. This is a very good question. I'm gonna kind of reverse back and then answer the second part first. Just last week, I sent out an email to the alumni of their office to try to arrange a meeting with them, because if you go on to ELINKS, when you search people, you can see their kind of based on their kind of profile, but there's another view you can choose, which is you can see where they are on the map. Obviously, we have international alumni, but we do want to grow that population because we recognize that there are a lot of internationals here at Cornell, also people from the U.S. that might be interested in working overseas. So that's one thing that I want to kind of develop and expand this international alumni network. In terms of, do we have resources or different activities to work with the international students on campus for jobs overseas or outside of the US? We do, but I hope that we can expand this kind of service because I'm also learning about what's good for them, what's the best platform or way for international students to search for jobs. I have some useful websites in mind, but again, I think for international students, as you're looking for jobs, either here in the US as well as, or outside of the US, I think the first thing you want to do is, even before you start applying for a job, is to build your network, to expand your professional network. And I think that is probably one of the fears for international students to kind of build network for a few or many international students, so how to build networks, how to kind of talk to people about themselves. I talk to a lot of international students. They have Berkeleyan credentials. They're doing great work here at Cornell. But when it comes to networking, they're always kind of shy and also inconfident that, I don't know, I don't speak good English. I don't know how to talk about my work. We can help you in terms of like how to form a personal pitch or elevator pitch. And we're also here to kind of encourage you, to give you a pat on the back. Hey, you're doing great, right? So don't be afraid. Plus, you have this global or intercultural fluency. And that's one of the 8 competencies NACE Association requires, or the employers out there are looking for. NACE stands for National Association for Colleges and Employers. So they surveyed more than 600 or 700 employers, and then they gather all the answers, feedback, they compile these 8 kind of competencies, one of them being global influence, or global fluency, or intercultural fluency.
And then I have
Caitlin. Yes, my question is kind of to learn more about what a point of view for your office is like. So, if hypothetically, I was a master's student and about to graduate and learned about my job search, and I came to you, what would that be?
Okay, that's a great question. I think it depends.
Yeah.
There's probably not a cutter kind of type of, this is what I do first. I shake your hand, and then I say, hello, how are you? I probably do that. But I like to hear stories from people. Right? One, you put them at ease. 2, it's also a great opportunity for me to learn more about this person, what he or she studied, and his or her interests, strengths. And then from there, we can talk about if they are pretty clueless, then I'll probably talk about, okay, how do we work together to help that person understand themselves or herself? But if they have pretty good understanding of their strengths, their goals, their values, then I'll see like what kind of questions do they have. Is it a general career exploration question? Then we can talk about options. Or it's more about a specific field. How do I build a network? What are some resources out there? Then I show this person some of the websites and resources that I think might be helpful. And then usually I would also, if talking to me can solve the problem, then that's great. If not, then I would also refer the person to another person, either my advisor, my colleagues in the team office, or people in grad school, or people in specific college career options that I think they should talk to, to have follow-up meetings. And then, I think that's pretty much what I do. I'm going to shake their hand and say bye. Have a great day. Hope to see you next time.
Hi, my name is Sam Osgill. I'm a student department. And I was just curious, there seems to be a few services that are helping students identify a teacher. So, especially for the STEM fields, there's the best program, which is about, sign up training being used and not. And technically, there's also pathway steps. So, how do you recommend the graduate students choosing which one of those three you think is more why should they come to you?
Great. BEST is a great program. And a greater news is it used to only cater to STEM major students. Now it actually opens up to all majors. Since they have been to the grad school now. So if you have, if you're wondering, I'm a humanity major student or social sciences, can I work with them? Can I talk to them? Yes, you can. We'll reach out to Susie. We would love to see you and talk to you. In terms of how do you pick and choose, which program or which office do you go to, I think it really depends on your needs. And if you understand, I just need someone to take a look at my resume as I apply for this job, then probably come to me and I'll work with you. But if you kind of are looking for more resources, I would say talk to multiple people, because different people, as they come from different backgrounds, if they work for different offices, they will have different resources to offer. That's what I do. When I have a question, I certainly do research myself, but I also talk to my colleagues and say, hey, what do you think? Are there some resources or suggestions that you would have for me? And so in terms of this situation, I would say talk to different people and also talk to your peers and see what their experiences are. Which office have they worked with? Do they think that's helpful? Or if not, which other offices have they worked with before? And then always talk to people at grad school or stand here. He knows everything. So, hopefully that can kind of solve the issue. Yeah.
Any other last questions? Okay. Thank you so much. Next on our agenda, we have the breakouts. Alexa, do you even have where people are going for the breakout? So I think social sciences here, humanities here, international schools at the front, life sciences there, and physical sciences outside. Okay. Oh, sorry.
I think you're all going to be Some people come to something that's actually, that's maybe like local firms. I'm here for 3 years city. So I've heard, I mean, all my colleagues were here. Like, I have electric, I do have electric West Coast supply. I have a glass of London supply. People are generally doing our, I mean, I get more, I rank it, I drop down. I don't appreciate that.
Drives me nuts. I've never seen a lot of people in Washington ever.
So bad. Let's resume our meeting. Next on our agenda, we have committee Q&A. Let's start with the guest. Oh, Andy's not here today, but I think he has sent everyone his regular update. If you have questions on that, email them directly. Operations.
In terms of, I'm just curious, when you attend this meeting, it looks like there's a number of people who have, I quote, miss a considerable number of meetings. Is it that you reached out to them to see why they can't attend and potentially finding someone else to fill those seats?
Yeah, so I think Andy has been trying to do that, once every 2 weeks. And there are, four voting members. It's a little more difficult to, especially if they're from the professional schools, and we have it has always been traditional that we have someone. So, definitely if you see that there's a lot of holes in the attendance, we should contact your respective student organization.
I was encouraging you to continue doing that, potentially step it up, because I just sort of tell some people, I have really maybe they've been late, or I haven't seen them in months. And I think there's a point where, you can't attend. Nothing against you, but you can't
represent
someone
if you're
not here.
Yeah, and some people are, in their transition, so we have things like that happening.
Absolutely, there's some people on Zoom, I know.
Yeah, there are also Andy's, for example, on Zoom. Yeah,
the world is on Zoom.
Any other questions about ASAP? Okay, then let's move on to operations.
I made my time.
Okay. Any questions for operations?
You probably should. I'll send out an email.
We'll soon have an ops meeting. I think to talk about regeneration, hopefully.
Oh, what's in session?
Yes.
Okay,
thank you. Communications?
Yeah, so two things. One, if you have something to send for the meeting summaries that I put out after every meeting, please get those to me by Tuesday at 9 a.m. so I can include them. And then just a general reminder that the listserv isn't just for exec. Like, if you have something that you want to post and advertise on the listserv, you don't have to send it to me before to post it. You can do it yourself. Thanks.
Any questions for communications? Seeing none, appropriations.
Anyone has concerns over the SC guidelines? It's a meeting tomorrow with FC. So, what's the email?
What's your email?
JPB387.
Okay. So, we'll send out this out, right? The emails and everything with the summary.
Yeah.
Finance. Esther,
you're updating the guidelines and management.
Yeah. Okay. So it's the same meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Student advocacy. Do we have anything from Brianna? I think she's working on mental health currently. And whenever she has updates, we'll update the assembly on that. And then we have
DISC,
Eugene.
Yeah, one thing, Student Disability Services is currently hiring a new director, Kathy Fahey, retired last fall. The first interview was today, so it's late, but if there's two more, and anyone that's interested in attending those interviews, then reach out to me. There's one other thing. We are organizing a meet and greet with the new resource center directors, and that will likely be on a Monday evening in April.
Okay.
So all of the resource centers have new directors this year, and so we want to have a meet and greet for the whole campus, and everybody.
And we don't have a date yet?
No, I think they're still working between 2 days. So
okay. We'll give everyone updates once that's fixed. Anything else? Any questions for you, Jean? Oh, did you have a question?
So there's a women's resource center, the LGBT resource center, the Asian American. I think we're trying to reach out to some of the other offices underneath Venus as well. So there's a support for low SES for first gen students. Those are focus on undergrad, but having them come out.
Programming. That's just not
here
today. Sorry.
I can speak.
Oh, okay, yes.
March 21st, our next mixture, the last one was awesome. Even better. So it's not limited to 100 people. That was just the drink tickets.
Okay.
So definitely look out. We're going to have more drink tickets this time. So we'll make more fun. March 21st, next week.
Did we finalize the grant update? April 27th.
April 27th is
right. I'm place on
okay.
It's the museum of the year.
Okay. So we'll be hearing more about those things.
Yeah. The ball will be more. And when tickets want to sit.
Faculty awards is not here, but I think Pat sent out the call for recommendations to GFAs, I think. So, you know, you should be getting, you know, that information from your respective GFAs. But it's also posted on our Facebook, and, you know, we have a website. And, yeah.
I would say the freshman schools don't have GFAs, so looking
I think they do. I mean, we have a list that includes, you know, law, you know, like, they're not called GFAs, but we have, law and,
show of hands, how many people have gotten an email from their GFA or a person who sends out emails about the nomination?
Or anyone from your department about nominations? Okay.
Most, but not all.
Okay. And the professional schools, not really. So I will check again to see, you know, what's happening there. Okay. So you can nominate anyone, including professional schools.
And the graduate school can send it to Marquisha.
Yeah, they just forward that to I think, and he also sends the other ones to you, right? And then we have the general community.
What's your next meeting?
Grad school has an announcement.
Oh yeah, so I actually just got an email from our communications director. She didn't say her source, but she said she just learned that the White House has recommended a 12% reduction in the NSH budget and a 13% in the NSF budget and 12% reduction in the NIH budget. So it's very timely that we started last week with these postcards and lists of legislative and office director appropriation committee, science and technology committee addresses. And I shall have an instruction sheet and more postcards here tonight. And then tomorrow afternoon from 3:30 to 5:30. Where's the picture of the pizza? Oh, it's real tiny, Dad.
Multiple of them.
Stop by the graduate school 341 Caldwell. We have all these postcards. I actually bought some STEM stamps. Did you know there are STEM stamps in the US? What's up, isn't that? And check. Graduate announcements tonight, because there are details of a lunchtime workshop on Thursday for graduate students about the new policy 6.3 consensual relationship policy.
So if you want those postcards and can't make it tomorrow, some of them are here today. You can grab some.
Pick them up, and if you get them back to me, addressed and written, and I have some samples showing what students are doing, we'll mail them for you.
Caleb has also left some flyers on the resources that he mentioned in his presentation before, so if you want to see them, you can grab some later too. And then last but not least, we have PCI.
Yeah, so same update as last week. The sections will be due to me on March 15th, and the The rough draft will be presented to the assembly on the 25th. And put any comments that you may have on the Office of the Assembly's website, which I'll send a link to in the meeting.
Okay. Any questions for
tomorrow there's an event at the Big Red Barn celebrating National Women's Day, slightly belated.
Four thirty
at Big Red Barn, co-sponsored by Red Professional Women, Women in Public Policy, and Women in Government. All people are welcome. Come check it out. Thank you.